The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I can no longer cope with this horror that weighs on my mind any longer. Even if I have to break doctor's confidentiality. If this object were to fall into someone's hands, I'm not able to picture the consequences. You have to know. The world has to be warned. It has to. I've been a psychologist at a German psychiatric hospital for several years. My area of expertise are cases of phobias that are rare or even completely unheard of. During my times of work, I often deal with the most obscure phenomena of the human mind and tried to help my patients as best I could. I already encountered cases of spectrophobia, the fear of reflections, before the 12th of June in 1978, but there had never been any complications. In most of these cases, I could deal with the phobia rather quickly, and although my patients would probably never get over their fears completely, surely their suffering was reduced through my help. Because of this, it seemed nothing special at first, when Miharu Hamano was sent to me, suffering from said strange phobia. Miharu Hamano was a 19-year-old Japanese girl of fragile stature and long black hair flowing down from her shoulders, which she seemed to take a lot of care of. Her face was graceful, and she had small, petite lips that gave her a young look. But even at our first meeting, there was a strange shadow in her eyes, an underlying fear, making her face seem distant and alien. Her outward appearance was, however, not unusual enough to make me worry, and I had observed the strange darkness in her eyes in several patients before her who had walked through life with deep fears. This is why Miharu's case did not appear to me as being remarkable or out of the ordinary. When I met Miharu for the first time on July 12th, she was accompanied by her mother. The good woman seemed a bit upset, but no serious worry could be read in her face. I led her out of my counseling room, because a conversation just between me and Miharu seemed the wisest, and the presence of her mother might have obscured the young woman's recovery. This didn't seem to worry Miharu. She appeared to be a bit ashamed and was even somewhat relieved to be able to speak with me alone about her worries. It had been her own decision to come to me as an expert, and she seems to hope for a quick and easy recovery through weekly consultation hours. After a short greeting, she sat down on a comfortable leather armchair, which was placed next to my office chair, her arms dangling useless at her sides. "Please, tell me. What exactly is worrying you? Why'd you decide to come visit me? And how do you expect me to help you?"
"Well, since lately I've gotten this fear of my own reflections. It's hard to describe. Every time I see my mirror image somewhere, I get this strange feeling, as if something alien is staring at me. Something from beyond the mirror. I know, of course, that it's completely ungrounded. I'm not superstitious, after all, but nonetheless."
Miharu was nervously moving her hands around.
"I just hoped that you could help me get rid of this feeling, I guess. It was never this strong, but recently..."
She stopped and gulped nervously. "What exactly happened? What changed? What do you want me to help you get a grip on?" I tried to dig deeper.
"Well, I should probably tell you about the events that made me visit you. I came to Germany as a very young girl. 2 years old, to be precise. And that is why I always felt home in this country. But my parents and grandparents, who also moved here, are still thinking back to Kanazawa, a small town near Tokyo. They are extremely superstitious, and my grandmother often spoke of the myths and tales of Japanese culture. I loved listening to most of them, but one scared me somehow. This tale about a girl with her dying mother gives a mirror, and in times of hardship and need, she can still see her after the woman died. It is a comforting tale, but something about it felt creepy. I often thought of the tale when I was young, but I must have forgotten it with the passing of time, until my friends and I discovered a strange mirror on the side of the road last week. We were on our way back home from our last exams at school and passed a small shrubbery wherein something twinkled. One of my friends reached down into the bushes and pulled out a hand mirror. It was made from a mysterious dark material, almost coral-like, and shimmered in the light of the midday sun. The mirror was not very large, about as big as my hand, but the thing seemed to possess something menacing. I remembered the Japanese tale and what had crept through my soul every time I had thought about it. It was not the story itself, but something different, I think. When I took the mirror and looked into it, I held it in front of my face, saw the street behind me. Nothing special. But then, suddenly, I saw this thing behind me. This.
She stopped and started shaking, while gazing at the ground, ashamed. It took some time until she calmed down and was able to look up again. Her eyes were cloudy and distant. "Please, tell me what you think you saw. This is important. I suspect something has been occupying your thoughts for a long time now." Miharu resumed her story reluctantly.
A skinny, shadowy entity. I barely could make out its outline, but that was enough. I'll never forget feeling its gaze. I did not see its eyes, but they were there, staring at me. I must have collapsed, screaming.
I thought about her words. It was likely some childhood memory manifesting itself, a violent experience or some kind of shock. Sometimes another child jumping out from behind a corner for a scare or another similarly menial thing was enough to trigger these thoughts. I already cured people suffering from those problems. Listen carefully. What you just told me surely must have been terrifying for you, but its origins should be quite innocuous. I think that you are probably trying to cope with some repressed memories. If people see things in the mirror that are not supposed to be there, it is likely an attempt at communication of their subconscious. In many cases, the mirror is seen as some kind of gateway. If you want to, I can offer you some other methods to try lessening your fears besides conversing. Confrontational therapy is a possibility. Another method would be getting to the cause of your fear through hypnosis. You have to decide for yourself what suits you best. If the situation is getting worse than just being uncomfortable, or if something else, like the encounter with the black mirror that you described, happens, you should not wait to make an extra appointment. While we're at it, do you still have the mirror? I would like to take a look at it. She hesitated.
I guess it broke when I had my anxiety attack. At least, I hope so. Thank you very much. I will be back next week.
The young woman slowly got up and led her to the door. Her mother was still waiting outside, and they hurriedly left. Nothing out of the ordinary had happened, and her problems promised to not be very severe. But I was sure that their repressed memories were easy to uncover. If I had only known back then. The next consolation hour arrived rather quickly. On the 19th of July, 1978, Miharu arrived on time for her appointment. As her mother led her into the room, it became apparent that something was not right. The eyes of the poor girl looked tired, and her skin was pale.
"Doctor, you have to do something. Miharu isn't herself anymore.
Miharu's mother pleaded. I asked her to leave the room, and shortly after, Miharu and I were alone again. She sat down on the armchair, and I noticed her hands shaking violently.
What happened? I asked.
It got worse. Well, I guess you can see that. I can't explain it myself. Every time I get close to a mirror, my fear makes me dizzy. I'm afraid to see something in there, something that watches me, that hungers for me. It's terrible. I just can't cope with it anymore. When I went to school, I couldn't even go to the bathroom because it had a giant mirror on the wall. I can't stand it anymore. Do something.
She was beside herself and got louder, starting to panic. Please, calm down. You are safe here. Completely. You didn't see anything else? I'm sorry. I have to ask. Did you?
No, she said, hesitantly. No, nothing. I'm just afraid to see something. Afraid of it coming back. It's just horrifying.
Would you look into a mirror, now, to see whether there is something in it? We could do it together, if you want to. This was, of course, a suggestion that Miharu would probably not touch upon, but I had made sure that she was aware of that possibility. I'm with you. Nothing will happen to you, I promise.
All right. If we can do it together.
Miharu slowly said. I found her taking this step so early quite remarkable. I slowly took a hand mirror out of a drawer and placed it face down on my knees. She got up and walked to my side. Are you ready? I asked.
Yes,
she tearfully said, but soon got a grip on herself. I began turning the mirror, gradually. We saw our mirror images, but nothing else. Miharu went back to her armchair again, and I noticed her shaking fading away. She began to relax. The mirror went back into the drawer, and I looked at her. There was nothing, was there?
No, of course not. It was stupid of me. Silly thoughts.
They were in no way silly thoughts. It was just this silhouette you believed you had seen. That upset you this badly. Because of it, you started to build up fear of confrontation. It will take some time, but your phobia will fade away. At least you'll be able to visit the bathroom again. Miharu started laughing.
Yes. Thank you very much. I certainly will be. But is it possible to try hypnotherapy next week? I want to know what exactly I got so worked up over. I have hallucinated something, after all.
I looked at the time. We could also do that right now. After all, only 10 minutes of our session has passed, if you want to.
Yes, of course. I want to leave it behind me. It's been enough. Who knows? This fear might come back someday. I don't have the nerves for that happening.
And so, I hypnotized her. It was admirable how hard she fought against her anxiety, and I had high hopes for a quick recovery of hers. She sat there, eyes closed, relaxing her limbs. I asked her to go back to the day she and her friends had found the black mirror. It seemed to put some strain on her, but finally she made it.
I'm standing next to the road, together with my friends. We take our time walking home. Leah suddenly stops. She had seen something in the bushes, twinkling. She reaches down and grabs it. It's a mirror. I'm afraid.
Afraid of what? The tail? You don't have to be. You are safe. Understood?
Yes. Yes, I am safe. But I've got this feeling of discomfort. I think it is because the mirror is so weirdly black. It seems evil. I fear seeing a ghost. An evil ghost. Something monstrous from the beyond or another horrifying place. What if something is inside the mirror? I don't want to look.
There is nothing inside. You are just imagining things. Ghosts don't exist. You are completely safe. Don't be afraid. Miharu's face muscles tensed, and she appeared to be under a lot of stress.
I look into the mirror. The road is behind me. Cars are passing by. Beyond the road, there is a field. There it is. The silhouette. No.
She grew even more tense, and her breathing got heavy. I leaned forward and tried to calm her down. Everything is all right. It can't harm you. It is just a memory. But which one? Which memory are you hiding? Please describe the silhouette. It will relax you. Trust me. Everything is going to be all right. If Miharu managed to see whose silhouette she had seen, we would know what caused her fears. Then my treatment would have reached its goal. Perhaps her father, a childhood friend, someone she knew. Who would it be?
It's big, tall, unnatural. About 3 meters, but skinny. Skinny, incredibly skinny. And its long neck, almost as long as my arms. What is that? I know it noticed me. No.
I hesitated. What was happening? Her seeing such a distorted figure was highly irregular. I almost wanted to wake her up when she suddenly relaxed.
It turns away, despite having noticed me. It doesn't care about me. It slowly fades away, shortly, before I drop the mirror.
I hurriedly woke her up. Miharu appeared to be relieved. She asked about my findings. I'm not entirely sure, but the silhouette might have been a symbol of some worry. It looks like this worry has already vanished. You said the entity you saw didn't care about you. We can safely assume that no further extreme happenings are to take place. If something does happen, you are welcome to visit me again. But I think you should try to cope alone for the time being. Miharu left, thankfully, and her mother was also happy about the quick recovery. I had some doubts, because I never experienced something being cured this fast, but I assumed the phobia hadn't been that severe to begin with. I did not know what the silhouette had symbolized, but it seems to have been something unimportant for the moment. I expected to never see Miharu again at the hospital, but I would be proven wrong in a gruesome and terrible way. On the night between the 23rd and 24th of July, I got a call from the hospital. One of my patients had gone mad. The patient was Miharu. I immediately drove to the clinic, completely aghast. A colleague of mine showed me to one of the older rooms inside the basement. I found Miharu sitting on a chair, wearing a white straitjacket. After I closed the door behind me and sat down at a table opposite of her, shivers ran down my spine. Miharu apparently did not manage to harm herself in any way, but her face looked like a mask. She crazily peered into my eyes and had a wide, surreal grin on her face. A strange, biting stench made my eyes tear up. However, I was not able to make out its source. Miharu turned up her nose and cheerfully asked about my well-being.
What happened? What did you do?
I wanted to know, ignoring her question. Miharu started laughing, joyously, coldly.
Do you really want to know?
Yes. Why else would I be here? What happened?
I was at home. All was well. So well. No worries, no fear of mirrors. Everything was magnificent. magnificent. Until it was there. There, this hideous thing.
Miharu was whispering. The silhouette, I asked. Miharu laughed again.
The silhouette? No, no, the mirror. The black hand mirror. It was lying on the sink in the bathroom. Just on the sink. How did it get there? How on earth did it get there? I don't know. I have no clue. But it was there. Just there.
She laughed even louder, hysterically, then suddenly stopped. She looked at me, her eyes feeling unnaturally huge, almost trying to suck me in.
A friend of mine must have placed it there. Who else? It didn't break, no. But it doesn't matter. I threw it away.
She started humming, quietly, but kept staring into my eyes. Another shiver went down my spine when I noticed that she didn't even blink anymore. And it came back, I asked.
No, of course not, you idiot. Mirrors can't walk. No, it stayed away. Everything was well. I washed my hands, wanted to leave, but then...
She leaned forward even more.
The lights went out. Probably some malfunction in the power grid. Surely not bad. No. The lights went back on. And then...
She stopped and pierced me with her gaze. The silence was unbearable. I had never before seen someone this delusional. Suddenly, she started screaming.
It was in the mirror, directly in front of me. It was there, this face. This repulsing, blasphemous face. It looked at me, a grimace from beyond this world. Evil, ugly, disgusting. It started and started so close. I could see it so close. I ran out to the bathroom and into the living room to my parents, feeling a panic like never before. They tried to calm me down, but it didn't work. I knew it was still there. On the television screen, on the pendulum or the wall clock, everywhere. It gazed into my soul, this grotesque face of scum. I had to cut out my eyes. I didn't want to see it anymore, but my parents held me back. They held me back, and I fainted. But now, here, having had time to think it through, I understood. I understood, Doctor.
She got quiet again, but saliva started dripping out of her open mouth. What? What did you understand? I wanted to know. She gazed at me, seriously, without a shred of humanity showing in her eyes or on her face.
It was my own face. I look like that. Look at me. Just look at me. Just my own face. How stupid of me.
Her eyes opened even further, giving me a feeling of incredible uneasiness. What must have happened to make her hallucinate such horrors? It had to be a dark memory. Perhaps she was mocked with something as a child. Something happens to you long ago. We can find out what it is together. You do not have to believe such things.
Doctor, are you blind? Perhaps you can feel it. Come. Come closer, please. Come closer.
With those words, Miharu stood up. She couldn't walk, because her feet were chained to the chair that was screwed tightly into the ground. This was my opportunity to convince her. I began stepping in her direction, slowly, until a mere 30 centimeters of distance was left between us. Her eyes were two gates, trying to swallow me whole, her mouth just a small line, and her face gray as ash. Her hair was ruffled, but everything was normal. I could reassure her. There is nothing
Miharu. Nothing. You just look tired. Very tired.
Touch it. Feel it. This unmistakable mass. Lump. Go on.
I have to admit that I was afraid of touching her. What if I really felt something? Something that wasn't her face. No, I couldn't act that stuporous. I began raising my hand towards her features. I stopped and hesitated, but finally got a grip on myself and touched it. It was soft and completely normal. It took a giant load off my mind, and I cursed myself. What did I expect? Her stories must have been a bit too strange. Nothing wrong. All is well. You do not have to be afraid anymore. Despair crept into Miharu's eyes. It appeared that she finally got to her senses.
No, no. It is this grotesque face. Believe me. Are you blind?
She started crying. I felt sorry for her, especially because I did not know how long she had to stay here. As I started to leave, the lights flickered and died out. A scared jolt ran through Miharu's body, and she staggered forward, hitting me in the rush. We crashed onto the hard floor, her head smacking into my stomach, and I let out a painful gasp. Suddenly, an unbelievably bad stench got into my nose. It came from Miharu. I could not see anything, though part of me didn't want to anyway. Closing my eyes, I tried to relax. I noticed the lights turning back on, but my eyes stayed shut. Then I heard it. Only centimeters away from my ears, something was panting, gargling. A distorted voice.
Doctor, doctor. I think you also might be able to see it now. I think you also might be able to see it.
In shock, I reached for her face. Instead of smooth skin, I felt a slimy, gristly surface. The terror almost made me lose my mind. This couldn't possibly be happening. Then, I opened my eyes. Never will I forget what I saw. And never again will I be able to spend a minute in peace after this atrocity. It was a grimace lying on my stomach, having once been the face of a beautiful girl. The eyes were giant, round and squidgy, stood out and twitched around madly. Her hair was black and disheveled, sprouting in all directions, the skin strangely blue and her nose unsettlingly normal. The jaw, however, had mainly gone back into the skull, so the creature had a huge overbite, and the mouth was twisted and turned, almost like a mirror image of a pond that got distorted by waves. Her eyes were fixated on me in a gruesome way, and her hand clung to my ankle, strangely having been freed of the straitjacket. I do not remember how I got loose and ran away, while she followed me with her eyeballs. I understand that no one will probably ever believe me, that all of it sounds like me hallucinating, but it was reality. The following night, Miharu vanished from her guarded, locked room. No one knew where she went, and no one ever saw her again. There also never was another person who saw this gruesome, no, her true face. I was notified about her asking for a black hand mirror that had been found in her bedroom shortly before I came to visit her. Where the accursed object is now, I do not know. If anyone were to find it, I can only hope that due to this report, it will be destroyed immediately. Luckily, I never saw the black thing myself. Who knows what horrendous things would now gaze at me from inside the mirrors? I am afraid, even now, of seeing this sacrilegious, gruesome face from another world in a reflection one day, and of it taking me, and never again
did I sleep in peace. In the dark, I remember its nasty voice. Sometimes I imagine hearing it right beside me, feeling another being in my bed.
Doctor, doctor, I think you also might be able to see it now. I think you also might be able to see it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.